This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we're speaking with Dr. David Cangello to discuss breast augmentation just in time for the summer. Dr. Cangello is a New York super doctor and has been featured in 17 Magazine, Harper's Bazaar, CBS, Bravo, and has worked with some of the world's best known models. We're certainly talking to the right person, and Dr. Cangello, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're more than welcome. A pleasure to have you with us today. So for starters, what are the top reasons patients should choose to have breast augmentation?
Sure. There's actually a few different reasons why patients tend to look for breast augmentation. Some of my patients are certainly, moms who have, finished having children, and sometimes after that, the breasts become a little bit deflated or tend to sag a little bit, and often these women are seeking rejuvenation of the breasts to make them more full and more perky like they were when they were a little bit younger or before they had kids. And another, probably the most common reason is just younger women in their, 20s and 30s who are just seeking larger breasts to sort of look and feel more feminine.
And tell us, what options do patients have in regard to implant types?
Yeah, so this is probably one of the most common questions that I get when patients come in. And it's interesting because a lot of my patients have sort of, done some research and they already have the answers, and others haven't. And here's what I sort of lay out for them in consultation. Basically, I tell them there are a few different types of implants on the market now, and sort of the one that's been around for a bit that most people know of are saline-filled implants. The other type is silicone gel-filled implants. And then there are what are known as sort of gummy bear or teardrop shaped implants. And most recently there's a new type of implant on the market. Actually, it's not that new. It's saline filled, but the claim by the manufacturer, this is called the Ideal implant, and the claim by the manufacturer is that it feels like silicone, but it's actually a saline filled implant. So, those are the general types of implants. I will say that just to sort of compare and contrast them briefly, saline implants are perfectly suitable. I think that in this day and age, the silicone that is used to fill implants has changed for the better, such that the silicone gel filled implants, I think they feel the most natural, they look the most natural, they're less prone to rippling, which is sort of the dimpling that can occur on the side of the breast when women have breast implants. They can ripple, but they're just less likely as compared to saline filled implants. And a while back there was a concern that, well, are silicone implants, more dangerous than saline-filled implants? And, a lot of research has been done and sort of, we've looked at that, and they are not considered to be any less safe than saline-filled implants. So that's what I use probably 99% of the time in my practice. There's also, I mentioned the teardrop or gummy bear-shaped implants, and sort of those are marketed to be, sort of a better option because it gives a more, what they sort of say is that it's going to give a more natural looking or teardrop shaped breast. But the reality is plastic surgeons have actually looked at that. They've compared those types of implants to round silicone gel filled implants. And really there's no aesthetic advantage using the teardrop shaped. And there are some potential downsides, which are that implant is actually a little bit firmer the gel is more cohesive, so it's firmer, which makes the breast feel a little bit more firm. And also, that implant sort of has a polarity to it. So if it turns while it's in the breast implant pocket, you've just necessitated another operation to have that corrected. So that sort of gives you a little insight into the types of implants. And as I say, my preference now, sort of the go-to Cadillac of implants, if you will, is the round silicone gel-filled breast implant.
So what do patients have to keep in mind when choosing incision locations?
Yeah, so, well, let me start by saying that there are four different incision locations. One is through the areola. Okay, usually that incision is made on the lower half of the border of the areola with the breast skin. Another incision is made another type of incision would be an incision made in the inframammary crease. So that's the fold just below the breast. And then the last two types of incision, one is through the umbilicus, and that's called a tuba or a transumbilical breast augmentation. And then the last incision type would be in the axilla or in the armpit. So just to sort of get these two out of the way. The one where the appeal, of course, for having an incision in the belly button or the umbilicus or the armpit is that there's no incision on the breast, and cosmetically, you know, it'd be wonderful if we could do that all the time and not have incisions that are ever seen, and then you know, give great results with breast augmentation. The only issue with those incisions, first of all, when you do it through the umbilicus, you really limit yourself to saline implants because you can't get an implant. The silicone gel-filled implants are already pre-filled, whereas the saline ones are not. So you can't get an implant from the belly button up to the breast through a small little tract without having it unfilled first and then filling it when it's in place. So, you know, the fact that you can't have gel-filled implants is sort of a downside to that, but most importantly, in my opinion, and this has been shown with research, when the breast implants are done through the armpit or the umbilicus, there you have the highest rate of implant malposition. What does that mean? That means that one implant can be sort of differently placed than the other one, so that the implants, so the breasts look a little bit uneven. And the reason for that is because, you know, you're making the incision for access to create a breast pocket remotely, either from the axilla or the umbilicus, and it's very difficult to dissect and create those pockets and make them perfectly equal. So I prefer incisions either on the breast, which are either periareolar or in the inframammary crease, and I can tell you that, you know, when those incisions are made meticulously and sort of closed that way at the end, the likelihood, or I should say that the scars become very, very well camouflaged and very inconspicuous.
And most helpful details in response today, we are with Dr. David Cangelo, a world-class board-certified plastic surgeon located in New York City who is trained in plastic and reconstructive surgery, as well as general surgery here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Tell us, will there be any scarring with any of these procedures?
Yes, of course. So, unfortunately, that is the case with any plastic surgical procedure. There will be some scarring, and the question that we just talked about sort of was, I guess, probably a good segue into the scarring issue, which is that, you know, when an incision is made, there is always a resultant scar. However, what I tell my patients is that the scar is ultimately, or the results of how the scar looks, is sort of 50% me and 50% the patient. And what I mean by that is that, you know, it's the surgeon's job to make an incision meticulously, to close the wound meticulously after the surgery. And then the 50% patient part, not so much what it's not really on the responsibility of the patient. It's not so much what they do or don't do. It's just kind of the genetics of wound healing, and nobody can really predict that. So But in general, you know, we find that the scars usually are very inconspicuous. They fade nicely in time. They can be a little bit visible in the beginning. In the early healing stages and scar remodeling phases, the scars can look sort of pink, but usually in time they fade quite nicely and are barely visible.
And thanks for clarification there. Lastly, what is breast augmentation recovery like, and will patients be fully recovered by beach season?
That's a great question. So, you know, recovery is typically, what I tell my patients is that, you know, usually the first couple days to a week they can be pretty sore. But I will tell you that I've seen it all. You know, I have patients that come in a week post-op and they say, "Doc, you know, I never felt anything," which is great. But being quite honest, I mean, that's not the typical experience. I think that typically we put the implants in the breast pocket under the muscle, and when we do elevate the muscle, translocating it from its original position on the chest wall, that can be a little bit painful, and sometimes the muscle can spasm a little bit, and so it can be a little bit difficult. But you know, we give pain medicine, we give muscle relaxants as necessary, and you know, it doesn't usually end up being too bad. And I can say that invariably, patients that I see at 1 week, you know, the pain is pretty much gone. Everyone feels pretty great by 1 week. You know, in terms of getting back to full activities like exercise, I do like to see patients wait 4 weeks because, you know, it's just biology sort of dictates that it takes 4 weeks for wounds to heal. But there's no question that particularly, you know, if you have your breast augmentation this month, April, and even May, you can be ready by beach season for sure.
And I'm sure that's what the listeners want to hear as well. Well, tell us, where can listeners be in touch with you and get further details on your practice there in New York City?
My website address is www.cangello, C-A-N-G-E-L-L-O, Plastic Surgery, Cangello Plastic Surgery, all one word, .com.
Again, Dr. Cangello, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Much appreciated.
You too. Thanks so much for your time.
We've been speaking with Dr. David Cangello, a world-class board-certified plastic surgeon in New York City who is trained in plastic and reconstructive surgery as well as general surgery. And for all the details and to learn more, visit CangelloPlasticSurgery.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.